What you're about to listen to is a BriFi production.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the BriFi podcast. I'm your host, BriFi, your comics guy. And if you haven't noticed, I might sound a little bit different. That's because we have a whole brand new microphone system that I'm using in preparations for Comic Palooza, which is going to be May 24th through the 26th. I will be attending as a podcast guest, and who knows what I'll be doing at the convention. You definitely will find me walking around, interviewing people, talking to friends, and just trying to have a good time and showcasing what Comic Palooza has to offer. That's what I've tried to do every year. And hopefully you guys check some of my, you can actually go check out some of my previous coverage on YouTube, on the podcast, and listen to what I've had to say about the show and kind of give you an idea, because going to Comic Palooza, I'm going to tell you now, it is best to have an idea of what you're going to be doing, because if you just go in there just totally blind, you're going to miss out on something. One, you definitely want a schedule of events that are happening and make sure you curate your weekend to the events that you want to see. There are so many things that are going to be happening at Comic Palooza. They take up the entirety of the George R. Brown Convention Center, which is as large as a cruise ship. This thing is huge. You can look at it on a satellite image of downtown Houston here in Texas and see just the enormity of the George R. Brown Convention Center. And then this convention takes up all of it, all floors, all spaces. It's madness with how amazingly huge Comic Palooza is, man. So definitely do your research before coming, so that way you know what you want to see, what you want to check out. Look at what vendors are going to be there, artists and celebrities, if you want to try to meet those. There are ticket packages to have, like their VIP passages, VIP packages, so you can meet certain celebrities and things like that, if that's what you're into. So definitely go to comicpalooza.com, check that stuff out now, and get your tickets today. And also, don't forget to book a hotel, because trust me, it is so much better if you book close to the convention. That way you can have a great time, you can stay as long as you like, well, at least until it closes, and you have someplace close and safe to return home to for the night. That's what me and my wife do every year that we go, and it's always been the best option, is to get a hotel next to the convention center and have your weekend planned out, because I guarantee you're going to spend 2 days just wandering, trying to figure out what you want to do. Because, well, like, the vendor floor, forget about it. Unless you're, like, jogging through each aisle, there's no way you're going to see every vendor and then remember to go back and shop at that vendor by the end of the weekend, unless you're staying all 3 days. It's insane. It's crazy. But it's a blast. It's a ton of fun. With that being said, guys, though, just remember, May 24th through the 26th, come on down to Houston, Texas, downtown. Tons of food, places to hang out, not even at the convention. And you can, like, cosplay watch. That, like, 1 year, I wasn't able to make it to the convention, but we were down, happened to have, like, a few hours to just chill downtown Houston before we had to go to where we were headed to. And we just stopped by just to see all the things going on outside of the convention and see some of the cosplays. And that was a whole mess of fun. So you can always do that if not able to attend the convention proper. But that's all I got to say to you guys now. Let's move on to the Nifty Nerd News. All right, guys, so up first in the Nifty Nerd News, let's start out with some Marvel stuff today. So there's been this interesting rumor and things going around online that Kevin Feige pretty much ordered the hit on Kamala Khan and the Marvel Comics. If you're not too caught up, spoiler alert, this happened a year ago. Marvel Comics decided to kill off Kamala Khan. Don't panic, though. They did bring her back as a mutant. She was resurrected with the, the Krakoan Resurrection Protocol, which is like a mutant's way to be able to bring back dead mutants. I don't know too much. I wasn't really reading the comics that this was all involved in because I was just upset because my favorite comic book character was murked in the worst way possible too. She didn't even die in her own book. She died in a Spider-Man, an Amazing Spider-Man. Actually, I think it was Amazing Spider-Man number 26, written by Zeb Wells. And I think John Romita Jr. did the artwork for that issue. But so, I mean, couldn't have happened with a better writing and artist team. But the fact that it didn't happen in her own damn book has me pissed. Because you don't do that, man. Come on. Come on, man. But the reason why this has gotten a lot of traction is because recently writer Cody Ziegler was on a podcast called Amazing Spider Talk. You can actually, I found the podcast episode that he was on YouTube. So you just YouTube up Amazing Spider Talk and you'll find it. About an hour and 4 minutes in is where the quote that every article I've been seeing has been taken from, where he talks about that, I guess he's friends with Zeb Wells, and Zeb Wells talks about how Kevin Feige comes in and basically says he wants it done. He wants, it's kind of weird the way that he explains it through the podcast is like Kevin Feige walks in and Zeb Wells just happens to be the guy, you know, gets the short end of the stick, and so Zeb has to kill her off. But then there's some inconsistencies. So next, an article comes out that basically Marvel quotes that's not how that happened, that they have a team of like editors and things that, you know, help make these decisions and help drive the writing process, or, you know, help the stories get to where they need to go for editing's sake and for whatever they want, you know. And I'm guessing what they want is synergy between the MCU, the movies, TV, and all that, the entertainment, well, I guess it's all entertainment, but the MCU versus the comics. They want synergy between the two, and what's happening in the movies is also, you know, canon with the comics and stuff. And I mean, I think Kevin Feige even at one point said that the movies and everything is 616 Marvel, which, you know, contradicts the whole reason of having like the 616 Marvel, the 1606 or whatever for Ultimate. I can't remember all the universes and their numbers because there's a lot, but so that article comes out saying that's not the truth. But then, like, I start reading more of the articles that are quoting Cody Ziegler on Amazing Spider Talk, and they're saying a lot of stuff when I go listen to that podcast that I don't hear Cody say. And so I'm wondering one of two things. One, did they not even listen to the episode and are just going off of what some random news site took out from that, or like how they interpreted that conversation going? Because the way Cody makes it sound is like, yeah, Kevin Feige did want it done, but he didn't specifically just go like, you need to kill Kamala. But, you know, how do you make someone who's a known inhuman, a mutant? Well, they had a way to... I didn't even read the issue because I was so upset by it. So I don't know 100% how it happens. So I'm lying to you if I was like, this is how it happened. But, I mean, you kill her off somehow, and either you turn her into a mutant, or she's always had dormant mutant DNA in her system. And then you had the Krakoan Resurrection Protocols, which is a way to bring her back. So I don't know if that's... like, Kevin Feige was like, hey, I want her to have mutant in her because she is a mutant in our show. but, and then editorial found this way to be like, oh, okay, so this is how we're going to do it. I don't know if that's the way it played out, but going back to my original point, the articles, the news articles that I've been reading all say pretty much the same thing. So I don't know if they're copying off of each other or if at one point in the video, it actually did have Cody talking about more detail about what's going on. And now that video has been edited. So I need to do one. I didn't check the thing to look at the dates of the video and the dates of the articles to see if maybe it switched and now they posted a new edited video on Amazing Spider Talk. Now, this is me just totally speculating and not, like I said, I haven't actually researched when the video came out and versus the articles, because obviously if the video has a release date that is earlier, or it was, you know, it was out earlier than those articles, then that video has not been edited and reposted. That is the original video, and some article made some wild accusations about what they thought Cody meant or said in that. Or if it does have a later date than what the article is, that means it was edited and reposted to not sound as bad. And that's some interesting shit. And what's funny is, you know, I've been there as a podcast. I had a chance to, who was it? Mark Wade. I was blessed enough to be able to do a panel with Mark Wade where he had some things happen there was like another comics, an indie publisher, but an indie publisher who was not really making a great name for himself at the time and either had some shady business practices or was treating writers. I can't remember. It's been that many years. And that video gained quite a bit of traction on my page, or that episode gained quite a bit of traction on my page from a lot of different people who had a lot of different things to say. I can't remember if I blocked comments on it or not, because at some point I was just kind of tired of hearing some of these opinions when I just wanted to post content of a comic book writer I had admired and enjoyed. At that time, he was doing the new Archie reboot comic, and so I gotta check to see if that's still on my page. I don't recall seeing it on my Facebook. Maybe I hid the video because of like the comments and the traction it was getting. But I do remember some people reaching out to me, friends of my show, and you know, just podcasting friends that I met, kind of like, hey, have you seen what's been going on with this video? And I was like, oh no, I haven't. And then I saw the views and I was like, hey, that's cool. And then I saw the comments and I was like, whoa, uh-oh. So I've been there. And I think, and like, I, instead of like trying to edit anything, well, because I didn't, because I don't believe, like, I don't think you should hide things. Like, if you want to say this shit on the microphone, and if you're not sending me an NDA about it, like, I'm not going to change it. But, so yeah, anywho, it's just kind of interesting what's been going on. I probably need to do a little bit more research to really get, you know what, because now I'm very curious, like, how, like, what's going on? Why are these articles saying something so different than what I heard and saw in the video? And if the video was edited or if these articles are just completely blowing this out of proportion and this poor Kevin Ziegler guy is probably almost in threat of having like business harm because of this. If the articles made this up, I think he has a case for something. Like, these articles are definitely taken out of proportion. But anywho, moving on, we've talked about that for quite a bit. Let's move on to some gaming stuff. So, more controversial shit. So the former president of Blizzard Entertainment, or whatever, the company Blizzard, his name is Mike Ybarra, thinks you should tip your game developers. Because, not that I don't agree that they need more money, because we've heard of the shitty business practices that game companies have done to their developers and stuff, but I just don't know, man, about just, like, tipping, right? Like, you show your support by continuing to play the game, by buying the downloadable content when it's released, but I just feel like tipping's kind of where I draw the line. And I mean, there's a lot of things in society nowadays where they ask for a tip. Like, What bugs me, and I'm not saying I don't like tipping, because, like, look, when I go to a restaurant, waiter does a great job, even if they don't do such a great job, like, you're going to get a tip from me, just depending on how well you do, depends on how great the tip is, right? Because, like, tipping is like you showing your appreciation for the service that they provided you. What I hate now that you see a lot of is companies are asking for this tip right up front. And companies like, I mean, the most recent one that's happened to me is like Pizza Hut. I ordered a pizza for carryout, so I'm going to go into the store and pick it up. And you are providing the service like Pizza Hut. You go to Pizza Hut because you want pizza, right? So they make the pizza, they hand it to you, you walk out with it, and they ask you for a tip. And I typically don't tip when I do something like that, because your whole business model is making pizzas. Like, that's what you do. So I don't feel like you deserve extra money for doing that. You deserve maybe better wages. So, like, that might be a controversial take, I don't know. But, like, my tips should not be supplementing your low wage. Like, your wages need to be better. And I think that, you know, like, California's trying to do that, giving their fast food workers better minimum wage, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. But, like, I hate when companies do that. They, like, try to get you to tip before you even had the service. Like, give me the service first, and then you'll get the tip. You know, I went to a coffee shop, where they're going to make me a coffee, and they want, like, a tip already. Like, well, let me at least taste the coffee first. Let me see the presentation of a coffee. Like, but I guess that's, like, I'm so used to tipping being when you sat down at a restaurant, and then they served you. They came out to your table and drinks, made it an enjoyable experience. Not, I'm going to go buy groceries. Well, I mean, it's not to that point, but that's kind of what it feels like to me. Like, I get, like, they're making the food for me, and I understand that, but that is the job to me. So that might be my hot take, is, like, if you are just performing your base job, I don't think you need a tip. Now, and so, like, I guess that's my hot take. That's my controversial take of my podcast. So I'm sorry if you don't agree with that. I feel like tipping is reserved for if you provide something more than your base service. Like if you're coming out being nice and treating me, or, like, not treating me. Like, I don't expect you to give me extra or anything like that. But, you know, you come out, be nice, get my drinks, or, like, if I go to a car wash and they fill up my tires with air, or, like, get my oil changed. The guys, they not only change my oil, but they fill up my washer fluid. They fill my thing up with air, like, my tires with air. They wash my windshield. Yeah, they're going to get a tip, because the base service that I'm paying for is just for an oil change. But they're providing all these extra things, going out of their way to do that. I want to reward them for that, you know? So that's what I feel like tipping's reserved for. But anyway, this Mike Ybarra guy even goes on to say, like, oh, you know, I've played games where and I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, but he said to the point, I've played games where by the end of it, I think to myself, I wish I could just give these guys 10 or 20 more dollars because they did such a great job. And I just feel like the way that statement read when I read the article just felt so out of touch with everything. It just felt so weird and wrong, and just like someone who's never been a poor person that scrounges and can only barely afford they used to be $60 game a year, you know, like this, I don't know. It made me kind of sick hearing this guy say things like that. And I don't know. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on not just tipping in general, but like video game tipping. It's just kind of weird, man. Anyway, let's move on to the next thing. All right, guys, thanks for sticking around for the final part of the podcast. And if you've noticed, the sound of the microphone's changed. That's because I made it back home, and now I'm recording with the PC mic that I normally use for when I'm, like, sitting down and doing the show.
So you can kind of hear the difference between the two. Obviously, I think this one has an overall better quality of sound. But I'm learning. I'm learning the new mic. So hopefully by the time Comic-Palooza rolls around, we're good to go. Good to go. But yeah, so the last bit of things I want to talk about is the new Fallout show and just how much I freaking love it, dude. If you haven't checked it out, get an Amazon Prime account. Go check out the show. 8 episodes, about an hour, maybe a little bit more, an hour each episode. But because of the content and because of just how entertaining it is, it never feels like it drags on. Like, sometimes I want more, man. But I think, honestly, they did such a great job of giving you enough information to really gauge what's going on and figure out what's happening. But they don't bog you down with all this lore that you need to follow up with. And in fact, you don't really even know anything about the games. Like, you can know just about nothing about the games and really enjoy this show. But there's enough fan service in it where if you did play the games, you're just like, oh, that's a thing. So it's really exciting. But anyway, the Fallout series stars Alana Purnell, Aaron Moulton, and Walton Goggins. And they're three different characters and they're three different stories and how they are all interconnected in some way. And you find that out through the story. I don't want to really spoil anything, so I'm going to try to be as vague as possible. So Ella plays Lucy, who is a vault dweller from Vault 33. Of course, basic background. So essentially after World War II, things stopped progressing technologically wise. Like, I mean, they got new technology, but not in the way that we have it today. Everything still kept like a retro futurism look to it. And so while they had futuristic things, it all looks like it's back from the 40s and 50s, which is really interesting. But so it kind of gives you the aesthetic of what's going on. Anywho, so by the time 2077 rolls around, there is what they call the Great War. And essentially, all the nuclear bombs fall all over the planet, wiping out pretty much all of the human race. To help prevent all that from happening, there are these vaults that are built. These vaults that are built where people can go into hiding, like fallout shelters. And they're not just like single family ones like you see. Like nowadays, people have like these bug out shelters and crap like that. No, these are like full scale communities with the sole intent of being able to survive for centuries down there and then come back when the planet's safe for human life to repopulate and rebuild America. And the company that comes up with this is called Vault Tech. And so people go into the vaults and as the bombs are falling, cut to 2296, and we are following up with Lucy and her vault, Vault 33. She's got her dad, her brother, and their vault community. And they're connected with two other vaults, Vault 31 and Vault 32. And then they open the gates to Vault 32 and raiders attack. So now these raiders take her father, kill people in the vault, and it's this crazy, like, her whole world flipped upside down. And now she wants to go find her dad because, one, she wants answers about what happened to her mother, and two, she wants to know why would this lady, how was her name? Moldaver. Yes. Why would Moldaver want to kidnap her father? So there's that storyline that we follow through the show and Lucy's journeys. Along those journeys, she meets a couple of people, one of them being Aaron Moulton's character, which is Maximus from the Brotherhood of Steel. People who have played the games know the Brotherhood of Steel, and you learn through the show is a cult that is obsessed with finding and capturing old technology. Technology lost to the Great War. And I don't know what their planning on doing with said technology, but they are obsessed with finding it. And things are kind of crazy, man, on like almost fantastical, like in like how they behave. I don't know. It's weird. It's creepy. And definitely a neat vibe for the Brotherhood of Steel. And I feel like I'm so far removed from the video games because I haven't played one since New Vegas. I kind of forgot exactly how the Brotherhood of Steel operate and behave. But from the show, I kind of like the direction they take. It makes it where you can clearly tell this faction is not the best. And Maximus, you can see through his eyes and his experiences just how bad the Brotherhood still can be to its own kind when push comes to shove, I guess, or like it's definitely a dog eat dog world out there. And so through his experiences and through his story, eventually he finds himself along the path to run into Lucy and her character. And then finally you have the third character, like main character of the story, Walton Goggins' character, the Ghoul, which we've all seen in the trailers, the badass dude, Western, kind of like Clint Eastwood, like zombified Clint Eastwood is what I was trying to say. I think I kept saying zombified Clint. No, sorry about that. Sorry, Mom. In his character, and you don't get a lot of his story, but if you pay attention to the context clues, you get a lot of his story and how he's come to be and his driving factor for what he's doing in this story, because for all intents and purposes, he is Dirty Harry, I guess you would call him, or like the style of his character and things, and how he used to be versus how he is now as a ghoul, because he used to be human. Spoiler alert, ghouls used to be human. They're very much like radiated zombies in this show, but it's fantastic, man. And honestly, if I say much more about these characters, I will give away too much of the story. And I think this is one definitely worth watching, whether you were a fan of the video games or not. It's just such a lovely, funny, gruesome story. It is like my emotions went through so many different things. I outright laughed at some points. I got emotional at some others, and there was like a jump scare too that got me with this show as well. But wonderfully crafted. I think it stays very true to the video games, at least like the feel of them and the, not emotion, but like with the dialogue and the humor mixed with the gruesomeness and grotesque stuff. I think this does a lot of justice to the Fallout video game series. And with Fallout, anyone who's played the game knows that humor and like the speaking humor and the choices that you make and just how some of the characters act and react to you as a player play a big role in what makes the Fallout series so special. And the show, I feel like, does an excellent job of recreating that feeling. And like, I feel like there were times, I don't know if I just kind of read too much into it to be like, oh, that's like the game, but it felt like some characters were given our main characters choices and you could watch them go through it and make a choice. Like there was clearly like, do I do this or do I do that? And I felt like one that was kind of like a good, if not intentional, it was still a good homage to the video games. And it was fun getting to see these characters make their decisions and their reactions to things. Because one, on some of them, I definitely made the same choices that they made, like in my head, which was kind of fun. Because like, you know, you play the game, you make the choices, and this kind of put me back into that. And what was also fun was the times that the choices I thought were going to be made were not made. And so that was also a lot of fun to see. The humor and like how some of these characters are not, I don't want to say over the top, but definitely a little more goofy, like, than you would think. Like, we're so used to nowadays, like, Walking Dead characters and, you know, the normal post-apocalyptic stuff where you're either, like, a witty asshole or, like, you're just mean and everyone's, you know, negative and stuff. But Fallout is a different beast, and the way the characters handle the apocalypse or nuclear apocalypse and stuff like that, I feel like is way more entertaining to me. I don't know. Like, I'm smiling while thinking and talking about the show because it is just that much fun. And I kept telling everyone, I kept telling my wife, this is like one of the first video game live action properties, or just really just any video game properties that would, you know, was not a video game, but like entertainment, like a movie or a series or something, that really made me want to start playing the games again. Like, made me want to pick up. Mortal Kombat hasn't done that for me. Maybe the first one, like when the first movie came out, I was like, oh, I want to play Mortal Kombat. But like, I can't think of any other video game movie, even Mario. As much as I loved the Mario movie, I was like, eh, I'm fine if I don't play Mario. Like, it might, I might, but eh. But Fallout, for whatever reason, man, watching this show really made me want to go. Actually, I'm probably going to download it now, man. So if you follow my Twitch stream, you'll probably see me play Fallout because I can't help myself right now. That's all I can think about. All I can think about is Fallout and getting like my little lever action rifle and like just taking on the world, man. The creatures are definitely some of the highlights for me in the show. Getting to see the T-60 armor, and a lot of it is a lot of fun too. And just there are moments with the armor and with people from the Brotherhood of Steel that are very funny, very gruesome, but very funny, that I can't wait for you guys to see, because it's a blast. And I'm sure at some point there's going to be like highlights or snippets of the series on YouTube. And I'm sure there are some now. So if you just go to YouTube and like look up Fallout TV series, you're going to see some stuff that I think are really funny. The ending and how this series wraps up, but takes this next step or the next start to season 2, is really well done. I really enjoyed it. It felt like a natural, like, close to a chapter, but not done with the book. And so I'm excited to see where they go next. They do tease where they're going next, and it's not like some hidden thing where you got to go look up a bunch of articles. If you're a fan of the video games, you know immediately when you see it. If you are a human and know anything about the United States of America, you will see a sign and you will know where, what city they're going to next. And I'm tickled, man. I love the ending of the show. I love what the characters had to go through to get there and how they handled it. And there are feelings that I have for this ending and with some of the characters and what I wanted to see and how it really plays out, and but how that also kind of made it, I don't know, made it special in a way. So I don't know. I loved it. I feel like this was a better version of Star Wars. Like, what they tried to give me in Star Wars, I feel like this was a better version of that, honestly. And I don't think that really spoils anything. But like, watch it for Fallout, but then watch it again thinking about Star Wars and tell me this isn't what they should have done. Anyway, that's all that I got to say, guys. As a reminder, I haven't reminded you enough, Comic Palooza, May 24th through the 26th. Wanted to highlight this time around, I was going to say Napoleon Dynamite, John, what's his name? God dang it, I can't even remember his name now. John Heater, I was going to say Heger. John Heder and Efron Ramirez are going to be at Comic Palooza this year. Of course, famous for Napoleon Dynamite and Pedro. Vote for Pedro, right? And it was funny because I started watching Napoleon Dynamite just to kind of prepare for this episode before I got totally sucked into Fallout and just couldn't. I literally could not focus on anything else other than Fallout. And so Napoleon Dynamite with John Efron, and also stars Tina Marjorino, I believe that's how you say her name, who plays Deb, Napoleon's love interest in the show. I guess that's what you'd call her. But rewatching it and remembering just how quotable this movie was, man, and just, you know, vote for Pedro and like the gosh and like idiot and stuff like that we do, or let me have some of those tots, like, and it's just like talking like that. Like, that was like such a big part of me in high school, because like, what, the movie came out 2004, 2005, where that was right me in high school. That was maybe sophomore, junior year for me. So this was definitely like how we felt, but it was right up my alley. And so all of us in school are saying this stupid crap, telling people, oh yeah, I got skills, like nunchuck skills and sweep kick skills. And like, the characters are so funny. Like, his brother Kip, his Uncle Rico. Uncle Rico actually hits pretty hard, man. Like, now, as an older adult, like, I'm just like one bad day from being Uncle Rico. but, and just like how the story, although like the whole movie, it has a flow to it, but it's also very like skit based too at the same time. But, you know, as when Grandma gets hurt, so that sets in motion Rico watching after Napoleon and Kip, and then Rico having this idea to try to like get rich quick, and Kip wanting to join in because he wants to go see his online girlfriend LaFonda, and so he needs money to do that or bring her to him. And then like Napoleon gets dragged in the mud because of Rico and Kip. What is it? There's Rex, the Taekwondo master, who ends up beating up Rico, and how it all kind of like hurts the friendship between Napoleon, Pedro, and Deb. But then they rebound and everyone's friends again. Pedro ends up winning the presidency. Napoleon, of course, does the like viral dance. I mean, it would totally be a viral video now. Like, we would see this on TikTok, this dance. But like, Napoleon killing it with the dance and all that stuff. Like, it's just such a fun movie. I need to go watch it again. And like I said, it's not really much about anything. Actually, when I was watching it, I finally got to one part. I completely, I guess, compartmentalized this trauma in me. But there's a scene where a farmer just slaughters a cow. And the way he does it, he just takes a shotgun and just headshots this poor thing. And the second part, which is arguably the worst part, is a school bus full of elementary kids pulls up right as he pulls the trigger, and they all just scream. And I remember just thinking like, like, oh my God, like, I do not remember this, but it is hilarious and horrible at the same time. So yeah, ask John about that. And Efren, when you see them at Comic Palooza, May 24th through the 26th. Sorry, I just wanted to bring that up because it was just fun, tickled my fancy, but not as much as Fallout. But so that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully the microphone situation gets more and more tuned in as we get closer to Comic Palooza. That being said, we'll see you guys next week. Bri-Fi out.